Yep.
My favorite part would have to be the Feed the Need, because I was able to see all the thankful faces that were there, and we're happy that we were able to serve them and get stuff that they needed. And then my favorite part in Seattle was when we were praying for Crystal, because I think she will be a whole different person now, and will live a happier life and be drug free and stuff.
Amen. I tell you, Crystal, she came up too asking for money, and one thing led to another, and we just started talking, and we were able to pray with her. Oh, actually, several times. Timothy? Allison?
My favorite part was serving here locally, because you got to like connect with a lot of them. And then in Seattle, I got to pray for Crystal out loud, and then we went to like a diner place, and then like these two guys like came up to us, and then we prayed for them. And then connecting with all these students too, and them opening up was amazing.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. And it really was a big deal because, we did, several hours in classroom, study scriptures, and I think each thing that we did holds an important role. But definitely, in my opinion, between the scriptures and between the hands-on service of being the hands and feet of Christ, I don't know that you can, I think that's it right there next to being in heaven with the Lord Jesus himself. So I'm proud of all of you, okay? I'm very proud of you. I'm very thankful to have spent the 4 weeks with you guys. I had a great time. We got to learn, laugh together. Got to laugh together, didn't we? Huh? Yeah. And yeah, we got to grow, and we just got to be used by God. So I just want you guys to give them a round of applause. Because I'll tell you what, they could have done a lot of other things with their summer, but they decided to come and they decided to grow and be poured into and sacrifice their summer so that others could have things that they don't have. To me, that's it. That's amazing to me. So I am very proud of them. What I have here today is to graduate this particular course. We had to, of course, participate in all of the activities and then complete all of the assigned homework as well. And I have three of them up here today. Of course, there's several. And this is a bummer to me that to not see, be able to put in everybody's hand a graduation certificate. But just for the record, well, I did state it very clearly through the whole first 3 weeks of the internship that they were to complete their every requirement in order to graduate. So I want to proudly present Isaac Rivera with a certificate of completion. So I'm very proud of you. I want to give Mr. Sabino Rivera a certificate of completion. And Miss Allison Duncan, a certificate of completion. I'm very proud of you all. What's happened here is our hearts have been knit together. And I believe that what we've started here is something that we could only begin to imagine. We don't even have a clue of what started here. So one more time for these interns. I'm proud of you guys. Awesome. Awesome. And I'm going to say a prayer before we go. Heavenly Father, if you'll reach out your hands with me, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these young men and women. They are the next generation. They are the ones who are rising up, Lord. Father, and I pray that they would walk in your authority, God. I pray that the seeds that have been planted and watered deep within them will produce much fruit, God, 100-fold or even more, Father. Lord, that their hearts would be soft and ready to be used by you in any way, Father, that you call them, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that they would rise up, that they would take their position of authority in Christ Jesus, that they would know, God, who you've called them to be. Father, that they would hide your word deep in their hearts, God, and they would never forsake it. They would never leave it, and they would always call on you, God. Use these young men and women and their peers, Father, to be the ones who will rise up and make a difference here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I have all of the junior high, high school, and all students? If you're a student, come up here, please. Children as well. Yep. All students. Yes. They're not? Oh, they're not. Okay. All right, come up here so we can all stare at you very awkwardly. Come on up, come on up, come on up. All right. If you guys will agree with me and reach out your hands, we're going to pray, Heavenly Father, Daddy, that you would, Father, prepare the way, God, that you would open their hearts, Lord, that you would speak to them very clearly, Lord, deep into their hearts this morning, God, with a message that Father, will cause them to completely, Father, follow you with a message that will completely change who they are, God. Lord, I pray that you that they're young, and God, you want their hearts right now. So I pray their hearts would receive you, Holy Spirit, that you would open their hearts and you would speak to them, God, and use them as the ones who will make a difference here today, right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, Father, cause them, make them aware to not forsake their youth or to not abandon who they are for the world's values, but to see who they are according to you, Lord Jesus. God, we are calling upon your name, and we're thanking you from the youngest to the oldest of each who are here. And Father, we just bless you this morning. Let your will be done in their lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Josh. I know we're a week ahead, but I wanted to make sure that if anyone's here today, they want to grab their 24/7 prayer support sheet. They'll be up here, sitting on this chair. That gives you the outline of the prayer topics for that month. And it's been a while since I've done this, so I want to give you an opportunity to sign up for our 24/7 prayer. What 24/7 prayer is there is a citywide effort that goes on all month long where churches and ministries pray for Yakima. And when we are assigned a day, we pray, like we'll the first Friday of every month, we pray for a 24-hour period as a church. And so we take one-hour slots, and we pray for that hour. And you're thinking, how do I pray for an hour? Well, that's where those sheets come in handy. They give you topics to follow, to pray about, to cause your heart to be united in prayer with others all over the city. There's times that I'm praying and I literally feel the presence of God about what I'm praying. And it's like I'm not praying by myself. I can tell that there's a great group of people that I'm agreeing with because of the environment that I experience. So I just want to let you know that you can sign up for this. It starts at 12 a.m. on Friday morning. So for those of you who are late nighters, you can do that. And it goes till 11 p.m. And I have 1 hour slots in here. But if a time is taken and you would like that same one, just go ahead and up at the top of the page, just write in the information. We need your name, phone number. And if you just put your name and phone, make sure it's a cell phone, and we will send you a text to remind you about your prayer. And if you could please have an email address on here, then I can actually send you by email these prayer sheets. So I'm going to send this around. I'll go this way. Also, we were talking about serving, and the interns have been serving this summer. Well, Gabe was saying, now it's the adults' turn to serve. as you saw, maybe you didn't see, because I know that was so adorable and cute and precious, whatever terminology you want to use for Skyly and Caden sitting there waiting to eat their marshmallow and their chocolate so patiently. Well, he was about ready to bite it, I think. If he had to come back in a minute, he's like, get it real close here. But my point being is that it's not always easy when there's a good announcement that's quite a movie in itself to catch the announcements themselves. And so on September 13th, we're going to be, as a church, serving food for the Loving Banquet. So what that means is that we'll be buying the food. They'll be supplying the money to buy the food, but we'll be cooking the food, preparing the food. We'll be doing all of the work that's necessary so that when the people come for that banquet, they can be fed. And so there's there's preparations needed to be done. There's, if you want to help with getting the food, you can see Pastor Gay. But we need to know if you would like to, are we going to have a sign-up sheet next week? If you'd like to sign up for that, we'll have a sign-up sheet next week. And it's Love Inc., I don't know if you guys know, but what they do is they help the churches that already have hearts to help people but aren't really sure how to help people, or if people are truly needing the help, because how many know sometimes people don't always tell you the truth? And so Love Inc. helps filter them, screen them, and if they need baby supplies, they have churches that will help supply with baby supplies. We as a church, we help with kitchen supplies. There's vouchers for gas. There's all kinds of different things that people need when they're coming out of a crisis or going into a crisis and they need help. And Love Inc. does that. So we'll be being a ministry to Love Inc. on that night. September 13th, is that a Thursday night? And if you have any information that you want, see Pastor Gay. I'm going to move this down. Well, praise the Lord. I have a word today, and this is, as always, a word that just popped in my head, so to speak. I am coming on Sundays, as I've told you, and if you're new to us, I'm not preparing a specific word. I'm not trying to get a word during the week. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm reading the word. I'm studying the word, studying topics. I'm just letting God speak to my heart about, his word. And then he'll give me a message. And sometimes he's done it during worship, and sometimes he's done it just in the morning as I'm reading. And today was new. At 2:40, I was still asleep. All of a sudden, my eyes opened up, and this saying went through my head: jumping, leaping, walking, praising God. And I'm like, huh? It's like, and I kind of went back to sleep for a little bit. And when I woke up, I realized that the Lord had put he speaks to you in ways that you understand. I knew exactly what part of Scripture he was talking about. And so I went and I started reading that part of Scripture. And I realize now that he is faithful in giving me a word. And this word isn't just for me. If he does that, you have to be of a faith and a confidence that he's going to allow me to communicate truths to you. And as I was reading this, even though you could say that this is a particular incident, and you could just say, well, this is what happened, the truths that he was starting to reveal to me as I was reading it were stirring my heart. And I'm saying, oh, Lord, let me be able to really communicate this so that it touches our hearts. How many know that we are not really designed just to come in and hear things and then just go and do nothing with what we hear? We're really to hear what the truth is and go and live the truth. And so if you're used to just coming in and listening to things and going, oh, well, that was good, but then walking away and not doing anything about it, the Bible describes that like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and walks away and forgets what he looks like. And that is almost impossible for us to comprehend. Almost all of us can picture our face. But if we hear the truth and we're exposed to the truth and we're challenged by the truth, but then we don't do anything in response to the truth, it's a loss. And it's not only a loss for us, it's a loss for those lives that we would also affect with that truth inside of us active. So I'm going to pray, Lord, we thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are working in your people, Lord. You're working in my life. God, I thank you that your truth is being revealed to us, Lord. You're opening our eyes, as that song says, Lord. You're letting your everlasting light shine in our hearts so bright. And we are able to see, Lord, the difference between darkness and light, Lord. We'll be able to see, Lord, the difference between lies and truth, Lord. And God, we want to walk in the light. We want to walk in the light as you're in the light, Lord. We want to walk in truth as you're in the truth. So, Lord, today I pray that as I share, Lord, that your truth would make us free. I just come against right now any lie of the enemy, any plan of the enemy, scheme of the enemy that's keeping your people from receiving, God, what you have for them. Lord, I pray that the glorious gospel would shine in their hearts so bright today, Lord, that freedom would come. Lord, I pray that no longer would we stay in a state of lameness, Lord, and broken down, God, but that we would rise up, God, and we would be the people that you've called us to be. Lord, I pray that we would connect, Lord, our hearts on you, Lord. We fix our gaze on you, Lord, and through that intimate, Lord, touch, God, that we are literally transformed and changed. I thank you, Lord, for every life that's in here right now, God. I pray that you would work in their hearts and in their lives, Lord, to show yourself, God, so strong on their behalf. Lord, that they would know, Lord, that there's nothing, God, that they need to fear or fret, God, because you're for them, Lord. You're not against them. Lord, I pray, God, today that the Spirit, Lord, of sonship, the Spirit of adoption that's in our hearts would be testified with by the Holy Spirit, that we would know that we're yours, Lord. We know that we're called by you, Lord. We know, Lord, that we're your children, God. You have a marvelous plan for our lives, Lord. You have a future and a hope for us, Lord. You're for us, God. You're not against us. Everyone said, amen. Well, praise the Lord. So turn with me to Acts chapter 3. I'm not going to read in the Amplified because... And I think I'll just read through this, then we'll see what the Lord does with it. Now, many of you have probably read this many times, and... It's easy, again, as we read things that we've read before, to kind of go into a, for lack of a better term, kind of like a through the motions. Oh, who talked about through the motions? Moses did when he shared. You can just kind of go through the motions, say, oh, yeah, I know this. Oh, I've heard this. Oh, yeah, okay, this is happening next. And you kind of just, you know, take it for, you know, just face value. And you just kind of take it for, oh, it's just right there. But I want us to dig deep today into the Word, and I want us to see truths that God, I believe, wants to reveal to us through His Word today. Now, Peter and John, chapter 3. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankles, bones, received strength. So he, leaping up, stood up and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Hey, that's what dropped into my heart, that scripture this morning. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the same lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us, as though our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and just for and asked for a murderer to be granted you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad that we have the Word of God? I mean, what would we do without the Word of God? Well, we'd be walking in darkness. I want to encourage all of you to be readers of the Word, that you can't just feed off of pastor or a worship service, or, you know, maybe you listen to something on the way to work, you know, got a radio station to listen to and I hear the word for the day. That would be like you as an individual living on, like, you know, Twinkies or something like that. I mean, it's not gonna be nutritious. Might be good, but it's not gonna be nutritious, you know. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, somebody on the radio is like a Twinkie, but what I'm trying to say is that we need full meals as individuals. We need to eat food that's going to give us nourishment, that's going to allow our bodies to function and work, to be able to do the hard labor that we do, or just to be able to have our minds think so that we can get through our job. And if we think that we can't eat, if we think that we can go without the Word, it would be as if thinking that we can go without eating natural food. So I want to encourage you to read your Word. Your Word that you have in your house, your Bible, is your life. It is your life. You may not think of it that way. You may think, well, it's, you know, it's a Bible. You know, if I get some time, I'll read it. No, don't think that way. That's thinking the way of the enemy. The enemy would have you think that your Word is just, you know, it's, if you just read it just a little bit, that's, don't worry about it, that's good, you know. And, you know, just you read a verse here, that's good, you know. It's better than most. And that's what the enemy would like you to believe. Instead, that you're a spiritual being and that you need spiritual food. He'd like you to think that you can get along with just, you know, nothing. You'll be okay. God loves you. Don't worry about it. This isn't condemnation. This is encouragement to let you know that if you read this Word, you're going to be building yourself up in your most holy faith. You're going to be able to rightly divide truth and lies. How many know that there's a lot of lies out there? There are. All the more is that coming to my heart, that there's a lot of lying going on out there. And you can say whatever realm, political, you know, you can call it, you know, the educational system. You can say just in the world in general, Hollywood. There's a lot of lies, things that are being perpetrated as the truth, which in truth are a lie. A basic lie that goes around all the time is that, you know, you can make your own way. You know, all you have to do is set your goals, plan your you know, your future, and you can make your future. You can make a successful future for yourself. And I'm here to tell you that that's a lie of the enemy. Because you can't make your own way. You can think you're making your own way, but at the end of your own way is death, folks. There's plans in our heart that we can put, or plans in our mind that we can think out, but in the way, if they're not of God, can lead to death. So unless you know the Word, unless you know the truth, the life, you're going to do things that you're going to say at the end of your life, why did I do that? Or you're going to say at the end of a situation, why am I here? And it's because we haven't been holding on to the truth. It says to buy the truth and sell it not. So in other words, acquire truth and don't get rid of it. And the thing is, it's free. The Word of God is free, except for your time, except for the investment of your heart, and maybe sometimes saying no to other things. Put the Word in your heart. So Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. So here you have these two men of God that had the, you know, a little bit before, the chapter before, we don't know how long from Pentecost to when this happened, but we know that the church had been breaking bread together, they had been growing in fellowship, they had been adding to the church daily. There was a significant church in Jerusalem at this time. And Peter and John were heading up to pray. They were heading to the temple. Now the temple also means a sacred place. A sacred place. And I want you to think of us right now. We're a sacred place. Did you guys know that? Yep. That we have the Holy Spirit, the presence of God living in each one of us. The Spirit of truth is in each one of us. A sacred place. And so you don't have to go to a temple to pray. But these men at this time were heading to the temple at the hour of prayer. It says, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is where I really want the Holy Spirit to help me, because this is where I started getting like some things spoken to my heart. If you look at this, you can look through just the eyes of reading this many times and already have the story done in your heart. But follow me, what I believe the Lord wants to communicate here. A certain man that was lame. This word lame means like a deprived of a foot, couldn't walk. And immediately what came to my heart was the way that I was before I knew Christ. Is that I, from my mother's womb, was deprived of living life to the fullest because of my birth, because of how I was born into this world under sin, because I came into this world as a sinner. Why? Because of Adam and Eve's fall. And so I was lame. I was broken. I was laid almost daily at a gate and trying to find hope for my life. You see where I'm coming from? I was at a point where if I did not have God's intervention, I would live without hope. I mean, I was hopeless. I mean, just picture yourself. Before you knew Christ, you were lame. You were broken. You were hurting. You were looking for anything you could get. Compassion from anywhere you could get it. Help from anywhere you could get it. I know for me, I was trying to find any kind of solace in, you know, using drugs, using alcohol, anything I could to try to curb this hurt in my heart, the brokenness that I had, the lameness that I had. And it says from a daily position, he was laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Now, so help me, Lord. This word beautiful is deceiving, because let me go to the actual, hang on a second here. Somebody's got some music going on. Where am I at here? There's two. This word beautiful means belonging to the right hour or season. Belonging to the right hour or season, or timely. Also means flourishing. We're using the translation here, the word beautiful. But now listen to this. Here's this broken man. Put Mike Lindell the title. Here's this broken person. Put yourself as a title. Here's a broken individual. Put somebody that you know, maybe at work or in your family. They're broken. And they're at the gate beautiful. There is a timing in God that we're waiting for. There's a moment for us to be flourishing in God. There's a moment, I believe, that's coming for our loved ones. There's a moment that's coming for our friends. There's a moment that's coming for our coworkers. That's a timing of God where they're going to flourish, where life's going to come, abundant life. This lame and brokenness is not meant forever. This state of brokenness is not meant for a lifetime or eternity. Then it says that he was laid at this gate. And it says that asking for alms as people entered into the temple, into the sacred place, who seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked for alms. So Peter and John represent what here? They represent the kingdom of God. They represent the future that this man has. Now he doesn't know it. He does not know who they are. He does not know who they represent. He does not know the kingdom of God that is inside of them. He's seeking for something else from them. And I'm here to tell you, there's people out there that do not know who you are. They don't know who's inside of you. You probably don't know everything that's inside of you. But I want to encourage you that you are destined for divine moments with people. Divine appointments with people where the life of God is going to flow out of you. It says, who seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Look at us. Why did they want him to look at them? Why did Peter want them to look at them? So they get eye contact, see face to face, be able to communicate right into his heart. Say, I'm not going to give you, he's thinking to himself, I'm not giving him just money. I'm giving him something that's more valuable than that. I'm giving him the very life flow of God. It says this, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Lord, let us hear this. There's a people out there. I just have to tell you, there's people you know. There's individuals in your life, individuals that you have contact with, and they have a destiny to fix their eyes on you. I see a lot of blank stares. Do you realize who is inside of you? Do you realize who you carry? Do you realize the power of God that's inside of you? That people are looking for answers, and you have it. You have it. Not just a pastor. You have it inside of you. You have the answer inside of you. That when people look at you, they can receive. When you, by faith, have them look at you to give them what you have. Let me tell you this. There's such a power in what God has placed inside of you that you can speak destiny into people's lives. You can take that broken state that they're in and bring them into a life of wholeness and healing and health. You keep saying, Pastor Mike, you don't know who you're talking about. Yes, I do. I mean, The very fact that you're not responding to this message tells me that there's blinders on. I'm sorry, it does. Because you should be saying, yes. You should be standing on your chair. Yes, he's empowered me. But you're saying, well, you haven't seen my life, Pastor. You haven't seen what I'm involved or what I've done. You haven't seen what's happened to me. You know what? Forget that stuff. God has. God has forgotten our sins. When we've come to Jesus and we say, Lord, forgive me of the things that I've done. I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. I receive the work of the cross in my life. You know what he says? I see another son. I see another daughter. And I love them with an everlasting love. And I put my spirit in them so they can go do the same and reach lost and dying people. Lame, broken people, just as you were. Peter and John are no different than us, guys. They are no different. We say, well, they were apostles. They were born in a certain time, a timely moment. They had their gate beautiful. They walked with him. They spent time with Jesus. And on Pentecost, they were empowered to live like him, just like you and I are. They are no different than us. And that's part of the lie of the enemy that says they are different. That's part of the lie of the enemy. He said, well, they walked with Jesus and they were there on Pentecost. That's part of the lie of the enemy. The same power, the same spirit that they walked in is in you and I right now. We do not have to limit ourselves based on what we think we are. Because if that's what we are, is what we think we are, well, let's just all go home. No reason to even be here. I'm telling you, if we really think that all we have right now in us is what we see and what we deal with every day, then we need to fold it up. Because God says, man, my people that are called by my name are going to do great and mighty works. He said we do greater works than him because he goes to the Father. See, we are limiting who we are in God because we look at what we are. And this is not what we are. The only difference between Peter and us is that he knew who he was. On Pentecost, that word that had been with them for 3 years in their hearts became flesh. And Peter stood up in that power and became who he was supposed to be. He wasn't the man who denied Jesus 3 times anymore. He wasn't the guy who was, you know, running away and hiding. He was the empowered son that Jesus called him to be. And that the Holy Spirit testified in his heart. He is. And if you guys see this scenario and say, well, that's them. That could never be me. Let's not limit God. We have an entire nation of people of God who are leaving the work of God up to a select few who maybe don't have the right motives or even the calling at times. We have got to realize that it is about God in us. Jesus Emmanuel, God with us, God in us, in you, in me, but not just me. It's so easy because of just even the position you're in to take it that this is your lot in life as a Christian. I go to work, read my Bible a little bit, go to maybe Bible study, come on church Sunday, sit and watch the show. And it's not meant to be that, folks. It's meant to be we're a body of believers. It's meant to be like Bill was sharing today. You know what? God did this in my life. Thank you, Lord. And yeah, it may be awkward because it's not what we're used to. But I don't want what we're used to. I want who we're supposed to be. I want somebody else who's lame like I was, broken like I was, to have eternal life. And I don't want to go back to a state of lame. Because folks, that's what I've done at times. It'd be like having a broken foot all over again and being laid back again at the gate, waiting for a moment when God already says, you're healed. Live in your healing. Okay, I got off on a tangent a little bit. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I do give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, the Amplified says, and grabbed him firmly in his hand. And it says that he started to lift him up. Remember today, Eric was sharing about we don't look at the things that are seen. Peter wasn't looking at the man. He is looking at the resurrected Jesus. And he said, this lame and broken man is about to receive the power of a resurrected Jesus. And he picked him up. And it says that as he lifted him up, that his ankles and his feet had strength. Do you wonder, imagine what that guy was thinking? What are you doing at first? Whose faith was it that raised him up? Peter's. In his Lord. The beggar had nothing to do with it other than receiving the love of God. Because that's what he received right then, folks. He received the love of God. You say, well, he received his healing. Yeah, that was the love of God that made it so he didn't have to go back there the next day. That made it so he could go have a job. That made it so maybe he could support a family. You never know what turn of events took place in that man's life the next day. And the other lives that were greatly affected because of the miracle-working power that Peter, who knew he was in God, said, look at me, because I have something for you. And it's worth more than money. Folks, I guarantee what's inside of you is worth more than any amount of cash that anybody could give you. And yet we treat it as it's chump change. A lot of times. The kingdom of God is put in our lives as the very most precious gift of God that he can give. Because it's his very nature of his son. It's the very power of his son. It's the very power of who he is. And yet we treat it like it's not worth anything. We give it not the credit that it's due. And because of that, there are all kinds of people laying all around us at all times by the gate beautiful, just waiting for us to say, I've got something for you. You guys are world transformers. You are. You guys are the ones that can bring light to total darkness. That when you enter into a room, you enter into whatever you want to call it, workplace, family gathering, you can bring a light there that will shine so bright and life will emit from you. But most of us walk into those situations just wondering, it's like, oh boy, I hope I don't offend anybody. It's like we get into these mindsets of fear and doubt, which I know many of you deal with even here at church or at this gathering. Deal with fear and doubt to say something, to share with somebody, to pray with somebody. The Lord puts something on your heart. And we live in fear and doubt here. How do we think we're going to live with boldness and power out there? And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple. See, that's the key right there. He was able to enter into the temple. He no longer just sat outside. He got to enter into that sacred place. He got to experience that life that Peter and John were about to live. And notice he's clinging on to them. He's holding on to them. Listen, I believe that when we deliver to people the goods, because we have the goods. We have the goods. I don't know, man. Has the devil been like beating all of us up with a stick? Because I see like doubt and fear and like in your eyes. And folks, that's not how it should be. If Jesus was here himself, I believe he'd be cheering you on. I believe looking at each one of you and telling you how you've been made so precious, how he's worked in your life, and if you knew what he saw and who you could be, what he would say to you. But we look at all of our failures, we look at all of our faults, and we look at all of our shortcomings, and we say, how can God use this? I heard one person say this. Listen, he chose you. You didn't choose him. And guess what? He chose you when you were worse than you are right now. He chose you. So if he chose you then, do you think you've made yourself any more disqualified from him choosing you? Pastor Lynette said it. The only thing that can separate us from the love of God is us. That's it. And what does that mean? That means we push him away and we don't receive it. His love's still there waiting for us. It's never going anywhere. But we push it away and don't receive it. He chose you so he can use you. He chose you to be his son, to be his daughter. And you do not step, I'm his daughter today, I'm not his daughter, right? I'm his son today, not his son. That's ridiculous. It says, if we're children, then heirs. What's heirs? It means we have an inheritance. And if heirs, joint heirs with Christ. The glory that he had with the Father, he said he gave to us. Peter knew that. The glory that Jesus walked around with, I give to you now. The name of Jesus Christ now, rise up and walk. Now, some of you may think, well, Pastor, I you know, how am I going to find this lame person? That's lame, you know. I'm talking about people whose lives are broken. I'm talking about people who have no hope. I'm talking about, and you may be sitting there today saying, Pastor, that's me. Well, if you know the Lord, then you just reach out and touch his hands, and he'll raise you up. Amen. You just let the Holy Spirit have his way in your life, and he'll straighten you out. Because that Spirit of God that's inside of you, if you give him the room, man, he'll fix any problem you have. If you don't know the Lord, then I encourage you to walk up to somebody and say, you know what, I need you to help me walk this walk of faith that they're talking about, because really it's changing your life. That's what it is. It's not just a prayer, not just saying, well, I'm just asking Jesus in my heart and I'm good to go. No, it's saying, you know what, my life's a mess, like I did, man, my life's messed up. Jesus looks like he has the answer. I'm going to start following him, and I haven't quit yet. I don't know if it was designed that way, that the guy didn't have me pray a prayer that time. He just showed me who Jesus was, showed me what he did, and said, so that's it. And so after he left, he said, well, that sounded like that's the answer. And so I started following the answer. And it was the answer. And it's your answer, and it's the answer for anybody else. Any lame person, any broken person, you have the answer. And you have the power of God. You have the power of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that was used to raise that man to his feet is inside of you. Just have to believe. That's what it comes down to. You have to believe. You don't believe, you're going to stay the same. I'll stay the same. We can believe the lies that have been spoken to us all our life, that we're not good enough, that we haven't done enough, that we're not qualified, all those things. We can believe those. Or we can believe the truth that God says about us is that you're accepted in the Beloved. I love you with an everlasting love. I've equipped you. I've given everything you need. Now go fly. Stand between two decisions every single day. The old corrupted life or the new life of faith. But it takes choice. It takes decision. It takes an intentional way of walking. That's where it talks about being sober, being vigilant, fighting the good fight of faith. Because it's easier to fall back this way. I mean, Peter did. Peter, I'm going back to fishing. It's what I knew. Now, of course, that was before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but that's what he did. He went back to what he knew. And we neglect Jesus a lot of times to go back to what we know. I'm encouraging each one of us to stand and say, Lord, you know what? Will you stand with me? Lord, you know what? You've called me by name. You've said that I'm your child. Lord, you say, God, that I'm going to do greater works than you, Lord. I didn't say it, Lord, you said it. God, I know that there's lame, there's broken lives out there, God, that you have a beautiful time set, God, for me to interact with God and a divine appointment, God, for me to meet with them, Lord, and give them, Lord, not silver and gold, Lord, but the very power of the gospel to be imparted to their lives. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would fill these hearts full of faith. God, that we would quit looking at ourselves, Lord, as we see ourselves. And we start looking at ourselves, Lord, as you see us. Lord, we start calling ourselves, Lord, as you call us, Lord. We start living, Lord, as you say that we can live. Lord, I come against every lie that has been spoken over our lives, Lord. And I say, let your truth set us free. Let your truth make us free. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I speak life over your people. God, I pray right now, Lord, that they would receive, God, the fact that they carry your anointing. They carry your glory. They carry your power, God. Lord, that they are world changers, God, in you, in Christ. That they're not the same as they were before you, Lord. They're new creations, God. And they've come into the world. They've been born into this time for such a time as this. Lord, I pray right now, God, that some of us would leave this place in our hearts and maybe even physically, jumping and leaping and praising God. Re-receiving once again, Lord, your freedom that you bring to our lives. Your truth, God, that you bring to our lives. Thank you, Lord. And just as Peter and John said, why do you gaze at us as if we're the ones that did this or we're the ones that were so godly that we did this? I pray, God, that none of us would take the glory from you, Lord. We give it to you, God, as we step out, Lord, in faith and see this miraculous work start. Thank you, Lord. God, I pray that we come back next week, Lord, with
with testimonies, Lord, of what you did as we step out, Lord, and say simple prayers, God, and watch people be set free. Just ask God that you would just let your perfect will, your perfect work be done in our lives and in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Got a song or not? Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, all I have is you.
Love will lead us on, God. When everything else is sinking sand around us, God, when even our thoughts betray us, God, Lord, we know that your word is true, God. Lord, I pray that we would believe what you say about us, God. Lord, that we would read your word and know who you are, God, and that the truth, God, that we receive, Lord, from that would let us live free lives, God, free from our old selves, Lord, free from our old ways, God, that keep us, Lord, bound and chained, Lord, not able to be, God, who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. God bless you all.
And share.